Paulino, you have exactly 144 hours. That is your window to report your neighbor or your best friend or, you know, even your spouse to the authorities.
Yeah, and if you stay silent, you don't just lose your property, you lose your soul.
Exactly. So welcome to our exploration to the source material today. We are unpacking this wild reality from March 1624. The inquisitors in Mexico City released a mandate, an edict of faith.
Right, and this mandate covered a massive territory. I mean, Mexico, Guatemala, all the way to the Philippines. It basically demanded that residents report any deviations from the Catholic faith within 6 days.
It's essentially like an operating system update for society, but it installs spyware in every human brain.
That is a great way to put it. It's a chilling document. The Inquisition wasn't just looking for rebels in the streets. They were looking for, well, bugs in the private self.
Right, starting with the home.
Yeah, they provided a manual on how to spot crypto Jews or secret Muslims through the most mundane domestic chores.
This is what's so wild to me. The evidence was just hidden in plain sight. Like, if you saw someone putting on clean bed sheets on a Friday night.
Or wearing their finest clothes when everyone else was in their, you know, work week grime.
Right, that was a giant red flag for the Law of Moses. Or even something like the fast of Queen Esther. But I have to push back here. If the authorities are asking people to report things as small as whether they remove the Landrazilla, that tiny nerve from a leg of mutton, didn't the system just collapse under its own paranoia? I mean, how do they manage the paperwork of a million neighbors settling petty scores?
Well, you would think it'd be a disaster, but that's the brilliance and the horror of the mechanism. The inquisitors knew the six-day rule would create a flood of information. Mm. But the goal wasn't just efficiency.
It was complicity.
Exactly. By forcing you to report your neighbor, the state made you commit an act of betrayal. Once you snitched, you belonged to the system. And the focus shifted from the kitchen to the body, too, looking for specific Islamic rites.
Oh, like the guadoc, right?
Yeah, that ritual washing of the arms up to the elbows. Or the al-qibla, you know, praying toward the east.
It's almost like a modern neighborhood watch, but instead of reporting a theft, you're reporting someone for eating celery and lettuce during a specific week, or avoiding pork.
Yeah, or their burial practices. They looked for things like virgin earth in burials, or honey and milk in graves. These specific details were used to prove that a person's heart still belonged to an older faith.
So their public Catholic identity was just a lie in the eyes of the church.
Precisely.
Okay, so they mapped out your kitchen and your laundry, and then they moved into the next circle, which is your mind.
Right.
This brings us to the war on ideas, the Lutherans and the Alumbrados.
Yeah, shifting from physical rituals to dangerous thoughts. The Lutheran threat was very institutional, you know, rejecting the Pope, claiming that confession to God was enough.
And they had that scandalous idea that monks and nuns should be allowed to marry.
Right, but then you have the Alumbrados or the Enlightened. They were doing mental prayer.
Which the inquisitors actively looked for physical signs of, right? Like tremors, shaking, or claims of seeing the divine essence. But why was the church so terrified of mental prayer compared to vocal prayer?
Well, it really comes down to a fear of losing control. Mm. If people could talk to God directly through an inner light in the silence of their own head, they didn't need the priest, the ritual, or the tithes.
Right. They made the church's infrastructure totally obsolete.
Exactly. To the Holy Office, mental prayer was a security breach that could bring the whole building down.
It really was a total dragnet. And they cast a wide net over fringe elements, too. The edict covers everything from palm reading and astrology to witchcraft and, you know, pacts with the demon.
Yeah, and forbidden knowledge. There was a strict ban on Bibles in Romance languages, meaning the common tongue and the Quran.
They also policed social sins, simple fornication, bigamy, and even priests who solicited women during confession. But, I mean, is there anything that wasn't considered a potential crime under this edict? It seems designed to make literally everyone a suspect.
Honestly, very little was safe. Back then, the body of faith and the body politic were the exact same thing. A moral sin like bigamy was seen as a pathogen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, if one part of the body is infected with immoral behavior or forbidden knowledge, the whole society is at risk.
So by policing your sex life and your library, they ensured there was no private self left where a rebellion could even start.
Right. When an institution demands total transparency of the soul, the only way to survive is to become a perfect actor. Privacy itself becomes the ultimate act of rebellion.
That paints such a vivid picture of a world where normality was a razor-thin line. Your safety depended entirely on your neighbor's silence, which brings us back to the six-day rule.
Yeah, failure to report meant automatic excommunication.
So, Paulino, as you mull over today's exploration, think about that 144-hour deadline. If you lived in 1624 Mexico City and saw your friend washing their arms to the elbows in a specific way, would you risk your own soul to keep their secret, or would you head straight to the Holy Office to prove your loyalty?
It's a heavy choice.
It really is. And it leaves you with this to think about. If a society turns neighbors into spies, does the real danger come from the rule breakers or from the paranoia that tears the community apart from the inside?